The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? It's great to have all of you with us today. My name is Andrew McLean. For those of you who don't know me, I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway, and I just welcome you. So glad that you're here today. I'd also like to take a moment and just give a welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online today. We got many people that listen online, so let's give them a welcome today. Well, today we are going to wrap up our series, My Big Fat Mouth. Come on, tell your neighbor, this message is just for you. Come on, turn to your second choice and tell them, this message is just for you. Four pastors who were extremely close friends, served in the same community, met one Monday afternoon to have lunch together, and towards the end of the meal, one of them opened up and shared, since we are all so close, I think it would be great if we could open up and confess any area of sin or any area of struggle that we face. And so they kind of understood the somberness of the moment. They nodded in agreement. And so the first pastor who started this said, you know, I need you to pray for me. The pressures of being a pastor have been so stressful that I've begun to drink excessively, and honestly, I'm out of control. And so the three others agreed to pray for him, agreed to help hold him accountable. And so the next pastor spoke up and he said, well, since you were so vulnerable, I want to share with you guys that I'm not proud of this, but I have a terrible gambling addiction and I just don't know how to quit. And so they reassured him, they encouraged him, they offered to help him walk through his struggle. The third pastor shared, well, I'm really troubled because I'm actually growing quite fond of a woman in our church who's actually not my wife. So I need you to pray for me. I'm headed down the wrong road. And so the other three pastors, once again, they came to his aid and they committed their support and their prayers. But then after a minute of terribly awkward silence, the fourth pastor still did not open his mouth, still did not say a word. And finally, after some coaxing to open up, he said, well, I've got a serious issue, but I just don't want to tell you. They replied, well, it's okay. You know, you're our friend. Your secret is safe with us. So after a few more seconds of hesitation, he rose to his feet. And as he quickly began walking away, he looked over his shoulder and he yelled, I am a horrible gossip. Today I'm going to teach on the subject of gossip, and my prayer is that your heart will be challenged. How many of you have ever had someone gossip and talk bad about you? Let me see your hands, right? It's probably all of us in this room have experienced it. It's painful. And unfortunately, being gossiped about comes with the territory of being a pastor. I've had people who have never stepped foot inside this church, this auditorium, say the most crazy things about me and the way that I pastor. You wouldn't even believe it if I begin to tell you some of the things that I heard. But in our culture today, gossip just seems to be a normal part of the workday, a normal part of our lives. Consider how many conversations among friends, maybe among your friends, that have started something like this. Hey, I'm not supposed to tell anybody this. You've got to promise not to say anything, but you're not going to believe what I just heard. How many of you have ever been there before? How many of you have said those words before, right? Probably all of us, something like that. And so we justify our actions, and because everybody is doing it, gossip really can't be that big of a deal. Well, I want to show you that it is this morning. And so we're going to start by, I want to start by defining what gossip is. Gossip is casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. And so while it's not a literal definition of gossip, actually Pastor Rick Warren has a great explanation of gossip. This is what he said. He said, when we're talking about a situation with somebody who's neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we are probably gossiping. So when we're talking about something with someone who's not part of the solution or problem, we're probably having communication that we shouldn't have. And so as you read through scriptures, you're actually going to find that God actually has a lot to say about this topic. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, it says this, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. And so God despises these seven things. I'm not going to read through all of them. But in this list of things that God can't stand, I want you to look at verse 19. It says this, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. And so I want you to understand that God cannot stand. He absolutely detests gossiping. Now one may wonder, you might be sitting here thinking, well, why would gossip make the list of seven things that God hates? Surely there's way more things that are way worse than that. And while I don't know for sure, there are two possible reasons that I can think of. The first is, even though it hurts to be gossiped about, and even though I don't like it, most of us as we get older, right, we grow up a little bit and we can handle it. You know, like I'm a big boy. Sometimes you're like, just bring it, right? Have you ever just gotten, fine, I'm just tired of it, just bring it, right? And so that's one thing. But it goes to another level, right? If you gossip about one of my kids, right? How many mama bears sitting here? You say something about one of my kids, even if it's true, we're going to have words. I get fired up like we get fired up. And so the point I want you to consider is that any time that we gossip about someone, I want you to think about it, we are literally talking about one of God's children. So think about the way that your anger rises up when someone talks about your kids. Now think about how God must feel when we tear down one of his priceless creation. It's a good word right there. The second reason God may hate gossip is because it's a reflection. Hear me this morning, it's a reflection of the darkness and sinfulness of our human hearts. Luke 6:45 says this, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. Watch this, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So I want you just to ponder that. Just think about that for a moment. When we gossip, it is a reflection of the darkness and the sinfulness that is inside of us. And so even though all of us in this room, we've experienced it, we know it's hurtful, for some reason there's something attractive. There's something that draws us towards this sin of gossip. Watch what Proverbs 18:18 tells us. It says, the words of a gossip are like choice morsels. Like it's the best part of the steak that you like. It's the best part of the cake. Like how many brownie lovers, right? We got brownie lovers like the outer edge or the inside. Come on, outer edge, let me see your hand. All right, so we got outer edge. Yeah, okay, I'm on that. Inners, all right? So most everybody here likes the inner part of the... It's the choice morsels. But watch what it says. They go down into the inmost parts. There's something sickeningly enjoyable about participating in gossip. Someone interviewed some different people and they asked this question, hey, if you gossip, why do you do it? In other words, what drives you to this behavior? And I want you to listen to some of these responses. Just listen. One person said, well, honestly, if I'm sharing gossip, it makes me feel kind of important. I gain power in the situation, and all of a sudden, I feel elevated. Another person said this. He said, there's something great when someone else looks bad because it makes me feel better about myself. At least they were honest, but how sick. One guy said, honestly, I think I've got such a boring and dull life. Come on, hearing something juicy about someone else is entertaining to me. There are shows on TV every single evening. Magazines fill every newsstand at every grocery store for the sole purpose of sharing gossip. And so the bottom line is, when you consider every explanation, there is not a single good reason for us to participate in this act. And so while everybody may be doing it, I want you to know it doesn't mean that it's pleasing to God. And as followers of Jesus, we believe God is calling us, right, to live above the culture, to live a life that is pleasing to Him according to His word. And so how do we overcome? How do we overcome this sin of gossip? How do we rise above? And I want to share three questions that I believe can help us overcome our big fat mouth and the monster of gossip. And so the first question I want you to consider before you speak about someone else, it's the first blank in your outline. I encourage you to take some notes and follow along with us. Number one is this: is my conversation helpful or hurtful? Is my conversation helpful or hurtful? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul said, don't use foul or abusive language. Watch this. Let everything that you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And so before you ever open your mouth to speak in any conversation, you need to ask yourself this question: is this conversation going to be helpful or is it going to be hurtful? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 27 tells us, a scoundrel plots evil, and on their lips it is like a scorching fire. Verse 28, a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. Is my conversation helpful or is it hurtful? I want you to be honest. I want you to examine your motives. You know, some people will actually disguise gossip. I don't want to be gross here today, but probably in what would best be described as a poop sandwich. Here's how it works. We'll start by saying something nice about someone. Then we gossip in the middle, right? And then we finish it by saying something nice at the end. Here, I'll just tell you how this goes. You know, oh, that pastor so-and-so, he's such a smart guy. Compliment, right? He's so smart. But I don't really agree with his view on this. I don't really like the way he preaches, right? Gossip, right? But he's a pretty good guy. What is that? It's a poop sandwich. We compliment, we gossip, and then we ease our guilty conscience by covering it up with another compliment. I want to be real here this morning. It's not helpful. It's harmful. Let me go further. God hates it. And so if we're not careful, gossip can creep in church settings. If you've ever been around church at all or church people at all, but some of the best gossip that you will ever hear takes place in prayer meetings and life groups. Yeah, some of you know this is good preaching. You're like, yeah, get real here. Let me pause right there, because prayer meetings can be a mess anyway. How many of you have been in some prayer meetings that are a mess, right? You know, you get one guy on one side, even they're like, grab hands, and you grab his hand, and he kind of has that cold, slimy, dead fish hand. You know, like, is there even life in your body? You're like, come on. And then on the other side, though, you've got the guy who's the professional hand squeezer. Like, ever been in prayer with that guy, right? And it's like the louder he prays, the harder he squeezes. And you're like, dear Jesus, if this prayer doesn't end soon, I'm going to need healing after this is over. But anyways, many times before you even get in to start praying, it can quickly turn into a gossip session. A leader will ask, hey, are there any prayer requests that we need to pray for? And I'm not saying don't take prayer requests. I'm saying be careful about what you say. But somebody will speak up, you know, and it's always somebody that'll be like, well, bless God, we need to pray for sister so-and-so. You know, she's been staying out late at her boyfriend's house. And I drove by his house and her car was there. And I came back at 3 a.m. in the morning and that car was still there. And I came back at 7 in the morning, right? Okay, she's a stalker now. She needs prayer, right? But in the morning, and the car was still there, so she's shacking up with her boyfriend, and she's living in a way that's not honoring to the Lord, and we need to lift her up and pray that God would deliver her. Come on, I've not been the only one in a prayer meeting like this. And so for the next hour, you talk about this sister, and then you look up and, wow, there's not even time left to pray. Bless God, let's go home. Right? Some people share all these private details but feel justified because they cloak it under the guise of prayer. And of course, you know, this is our thinking, right? Well, I've got to be honest, right? We're in church. I can't lie at a prayer meeting. I mean, her car was there. It's the truth. Like, if it's true, then it's fair game for us to talk about, right? No. Scripture doesn't say that the line of delineation for gossip is based on what is true or untrue, but rather what is good and what is helpful. Here's the deal. Everything you say must be true, but everything that's true does not need to be said. Everything that comes out of our mouths must be true, but everything that is true does not need to be said. Is my conversation helpful? Or is it hurtful? Our words should be lifting others up rather than tearing them down. Here's the second question I want to ask you before you open your big fat mouth. Number two is, am I making private matters public? Am I making something that was said in confidence public? Proverbs chapter 11 verse 12 says it this way. It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. Watch this. A sensible person keeps quiet. Verse 13, a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. And so, am I making private matters public? There's a great story that's told about a man who was in his town known as a big gossiper. And he told many malicious lies about the local rabbi. And one day he came to his senses and he realized the error of his ways. And so he went up and he begged this rabbi to forgive him. And he asked, please tell me what I can do to make things right. So the rabbi sighed and he instructed him, I want you to go get 2 feather pillows. And I want you to take them down to the middle of town in the public square. And there I want you to cut the pillows open with a knife and I want you to wave them in the air back and forth. And then I want you to come back and see me. And so the gossiper quickly gathered 2 pillows. He rushed to the square. He cut them open and he waved them. And as the wind whipped through the square, feathers filled the air and scattered as far as the eye could see. Satisfied, the man returned to the rabbi's home and he said, I did just what you told me to do. The rabbi replied, well, good. Now to realize how much harm is done by gossip, I want you to go back to the square and I want you to collect every single feather. Gossip is an incredibly destructive force. And I'm telling you, especially in our technological-driven world today, it's so easy to think, well, someone sent me this, and I'll just screenshot it, and I'll forward it to someone else. Let me tell you something. This is just a new form of gossip. It's taking something that was meant to be private and making it public. And so we have to learn to ask ourselves, am I making private matters public? There are 2 reasons that we shouldn't want to participate in this behavior. The first is that we should have a desire to lovingly protect those who are around us. But secondly, we should protect our reputation and be known as a trustworthy person who can keep a confidence. Proverbs 25, verse 9 and 10 says this, when arguing with your neighbor, don't betray one person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip and you will never regain your good reputation. If it takes a lifetime to build a solid and a trustworthy reputation, let me ask you, why would you ruin it with a moment or two of idle gossip, things that you don't even know all the details of what's going on? So I'm trying to give you three questions to ask yourselves to help us, help you overcome the sin of gossip. Number one, is my conversation helpful or is it hurtful? Number two, am I making private matters public? And here's the final question. Number three, am I permitting others to gossip? Am I permitting others to gossip? Proverbs 17:4 says, wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention to slander. In other words, not only is it wrong to speak the gossip, it's wrong to listen to it. And so why is this so important? This is the next blank in your outline. It's this. It's because it's important because what you permit in your life, you promote. What you permit in every area of your life, you promote. And so if you listen to it, you are promoting it. You are participating in it, and you are actually facilitating it. And so if somebody is always around you, if you've got that friend that's always saying things like, hey, I've got to tell you this, or you're not going to believe this, or have you heard this, you need to draw the line and say, listen, I love you and I'm sorry, but I'm not going there because if I permit it, then I'm going to promote it. And let me just get as plain practical as I can get for you. This is good teaching this morning from a very practical standpoint. If someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. You can take it to the bank. Every single time, if they will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. And so we need to make the choice to not put ourselves around that kind of behavior. So I'm going to give you three different ways that we can stop a gossip right in their tracks, right? Because sometimes we, you know, they come up and they're so slick, we don't even realize what's happening. And then all of a sudden it's honest. So let me give you three different choices. There's three ways. The first way is real loving, okay? The second way is a little bit more direct. And for those of you who like to have a little bit of an attitude, I'm going to give you an option as well. So before we look at these real quick, let me see the hands of who I'm talking to. Who wants the loving way? Wow, not very many loving people in our church. All right, well, I guess we need to start a series on that next week. Okay, all right, loving, all right, so not many loving. All right, how many want the direct approach? Yeah, probably a little bit more. All right, and how many of you want the attitude approach? Thank you, Costanzo and Tiffany, for raising your hands. Yeah, I knew I could count on them for attitude, right? Okay, so for those who want to handle someone who's gossiping in a very loving way, let me tell you what to say. This is what you say. Hey, if so-and-so heard us talking about them behind their back, I don't think they would appreciate it. And so we want to be as good of a friend to them as they would be to us. So let's just change the subject. Let's talk about something else, all right? Very easy, very, very loving. That should stop the conversation from moving forward in a bad direction. Now, if it doesn't, you can move to step two, a little bit more direct. Those of you who like to be a little more direct, this is what you would say. You'd say, hey, if you've got a problem with them, why don't you just go and talk to them? And then if you want to add some fuel to the fire, you can say, because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, come on, whip out your big Thompson chain, your big Bible, right? Just pull it out. Jesus said in Matthew 18, we are to go privately to the person that we have an issue with. That's direct. And I promise you, like, someone's got a big time issue, like, if it goes on after that, right? I mean, that'll stop gossip in its tracks. Now here, let me talk to all of my people that want to do it with an attitude. You've got to do it right, all right? So the first thing is, you know, so much communication, like, it's not the words we say, it's what our body says, right? So the first thing is you got to kind of do that head shake, you know, like that. All right, come on, let's see you practice that. Come on, I know some of you can do better. Let me see that. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, thank you, Crystal, right there, you got it. Right? Like, even if you don't have an attitude, you've got to know how to do it when the time is right, okay? And so I'm not very good at it, but you kind of start like that, and then you go like that and go, oh, no, you didn't. Then you say, if you keep that up, I'm not going to hang out with you, right? And so when you have an attitude, it's not with you, it's with you, all right? So no, right? No, I'm not going to let you go there, because if you're going to gossip to me, you're probably going to gossip about me. And then you just draw the line in the sand. It'll stop there. God is calling us to something higher. So some of you may be thinking, well, Pastor Andrew, what you're saying means that we can never talk then, or we can never talk about somebody unless they're there. That's not what I said. You can talk good about people all day long. You can brag about people as much as you want to. And some will say, well, but can we ever talk about people when they're not present, even in an effort to truly get help for someone we care about? And while there are rare times when this is acceptable, listen, there are two rules that you should always follow. The first rule is this: we should only say constructive things that we would say right in front of the person's face. Only constructive, helpful things that you would say to their face when you're not angry. And the second rule is that everyone involved in the conversation has to be there to help that person. So listen, if anyone is there who just wants the cheese man, how do you guys know what that is, right? That's gossip for all my American Caucasian friends. If anyone is there who wants the gossip, listen, I'm not going to talk like that. I'm going to hold off on the conversation until they're out of the room. And so perhaps you're working with someone who has an addiction. You just say, hey, listen, we love this person too much. We've got to help them get into rehab. Let's make some arrangements. Let's do an intervention. And the conversation is born out of a place of love and out of putting a plan together to help that person. And so as a church, as people, it's so important that we learn to embrace this truth. If I wanted to summarize everything that we've talked about through the entirety of this series, it's this: your words matter. The words that you speak are incredibly powerful. They are incredibly important. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36 and 37, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle word you speak. I want you to read that scripture and I want you to think about it. For some of us, that is going to be a very long, long, long meeting. Watch this, verse 37. The words you say will either acquit you or they will condemn you. Your words matter. What I need to understand is that my words have the power of life and death. And every time I'm speaking, if you catch me speaking of someone else, I want it to be caught speaking well. I want to be caught saying things that are helpful and never hurtful. I want to be caught believing the best about others and never assuming the worst. I want to be a person who's part of the solution in building others up and never a part of the problem tearing them down. I want my words to be seasoned with salt and full of love, lifting people towards the things of God and always believing the best. I want my words to be helpful and kind and encouraging and full of blessings. Let this mouth never speak words of curses. Why? Because my words are powerful. And ultimately, my job is to reflect a God who is a speaking God. Because when he created the world, he spoke, and in his breath were life and creation. And so to summarize what Christianity is, it's called the gospel, and that word just simply means the good news. So rather than being a conduit for bad news, conduit for death, pain, and destruction, I want to be a conduit, I want to be a vessel that good news can flow through me, sharing the truth and the grace of what God can do in the lives of those around me. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to ask God to help you with this. Ask him to help you guard your tongue and your mind, that every time you speak, that these questions would stay at the forefront of your mind. Is this helpful or is it hurtful? Am I making a private matter public? Am I permitting someone to speak in a way that is displeasing to God and tears another one of my brothers and sisters down? I want you to know this morning, this is one of the biggest tricks that the enemy uses to destroy a church. He'll get this going all around. If he can't get the pastor to have a moral failure, if he can't get key leaders to fall, he'll get this going around. And this starts happening. Did you hear what this person, and did you hear what that, and it's this, and it's all this nitpicking, all this stuff going around. Listen, you are not behaving in a way that brings glory and honor to God when you talk that way. Some of you need to write down in your outline, you need to go read Matthew 18 this week. And you should never speak about someone in a negative way with someone else unless you followed the plan that Scripture lays out. You see, so many people, they're crying and they're like, I want the meat of the word and I want this. And when is the pastor going to get deep? But we won't even do the simple things. If you love me, love one another. I want you to hear my heart this morning. Your words have the power to bring life, and they have the power to destroy. And I wonder how many people we've left in our wake because we're too holy and we know too much Scripture and we know too much this, that we tear people apart. I believe God has called us as men and women to bring forth good news, to speak life into dark situations. As I close, we're often quick to share gossip because if we can take a moment to talk about someone else, if we can talk about their lack of fashion sense, their lack of common sense, their lack of ability on the court or on the field, their obsessions or their problems, if we can talk about somebody else's addiction, if we can talk about somebody else's problem with pornography, if we can talk about somebody else's bad marriage, then I don't have to talk about and I don't have to acknowledge the failures and the shortcomings in my own life. If I can push somebody down, I can use them as a step stool and make myself feel just a little bit taller and a little bit better. Listen, gossip gives us the false reassurance that I am strong because somebody else is weak. I want you to hear me this morning. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ proclaims that even though I am weak, He will be strong in me. And when Christ is strong in us, out of the overflow of a pure heart, the mouth will begin to speak. And when we recognize who we are, when we recognize whose we are, it begins to change our hearts. And in the knowledge that in my very weakness, He is strong, what we find is that our heart will become transformed. And when our heart starts to become transformed, we will begin to recognize, I don't have to try to work to put others down to feel like I'm accepted or to feel like I am loved. Instead, I've learned this amazing truth that God unconditionally loves me and He unconditionally accepts me. And when my heart gets transformed, God will also get a hold of my big, fat mouth. And I'll stop complaining. I'll stop criticizing. I'll stop lying. I'll stop gossiping. And instead, I'll move to a place where I begin to speak life and hope over people. I'll begin to speak words of truth and affirmation because all of a sudden, I don't need to be better than you because I have a God who loves me, a Heavenly Father who loves me unconditionally. My job is to simply help point you to the one who has made me better, and that is Jesus Christ. So this morning, you may be sitting here today, and you're feeling, man, this message hits me. I feel guilty about the things that I've said. In fact, when I even look at the totality of my life and where I stand before God, where I stand with God, I often feel guilty. I often feel like, God, I'm just never going to be good enough. I want you to hear me this morning. Let me say this with love. That's an accurate statement. None of us in this room will ever be good enough for God. But there's great hope today because of the gospel. There's great hope today because of the good news. God, in His unconditional love and mercy, He did something for us that we were incapable of doing for ourselves. He robed Himself in flesh. He came to earth and He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose again so that anyone could be saved. I hope you'll never get tired of hearing about the power of the gospel, because it means that whoever you are, whatever mistakes you've done, whatever faults you've done, whatever sins that you've ever committed, that in the grace of God, when you walk in and in a moment in his presence, when you call on him and when you repent and you turn from your ways, your sinful ways, every sin that you've ever committed will be forgiven and you'll be made brand new. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you stand up by yourself or walk down here to the front by yourself, but I want to pray for you. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, you know what, I'm ready to make that step. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. I realize I made a mess of some things and I need his grace and forgiveness. I'm ready to turn from my sins and turn to Jesus. If that's your prayer, I want to pray for you. And so would you just lift your hands right now? Anybody here that says, yes, I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands all over the place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Thank you. I see your hands. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, you see every hand. Lord God, you know every situation. And there is not one person under the sound of my voice that has done too much that you won't love them and that you won't reach them and that you won't forgive them and give them a clean slate. And so, Lord Jesus, today we ask that you forgive us. Lord, today we make the commitment to turn around from going our own direction. We make that commitment to repent, to turn towards you. And so, Lord God, I'm asking you to take my life, take our hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray over this congregation today. So many of us struggle in this area with our mouths and the things that we speak, and so many of us struggle with this. And so, Lord God, I just pray that in the gentleness of your Holy Spirit right now, that you would bring conviction. Lord God, in the next time we go to open our mouth, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would nudge us and that you would bring to our remembrance these questions, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that as we go about our jobs and our careers and in our families and in this community, Lord God, that our mouths, Lord, would be big in proclaiming your love, that our mouths would be big in proclaiming your grace. Lord God, that when people hear us speak, that they would literally be drawn to us because they sense something different in the way that we talk and in the way that we walk. Help us to be more like you, Jesus. Lord, forgive us of our complaining. Forgive us of our critical thinking. Forgive us of our lying, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us of our gossip. And Lord God, from this moment forward, we promise to move forward and speak words that lift one another up. Lord, I pray that as people speak about the Lifeway Church, they would say, oh, that's the church that loves everyone. That's the church that builds others up. Lord, let it be said of us that our words are pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.